Hello.
Welcome to the Karen Conti Show on 720 WGN.
Well, good evening, everyone. Yes, it's me. I'm back after three long months. My last show was March 15th, the Ides of March. In fact, I had the Ides of March, Jim Peterick, on my show that day. And it's been a different world. It's a whole different world right now. I'm sure you all feel that way. Being back here is wonderful. We've changed our ways. We've changed the way that we think about the world. And as I was thinking about how I was different back in March, I kind of came up with the idea that, you know, let's talk about how this world is going to change. How are the structural, the government, how is the government going to change? How are the laws, being a lawyer, I want to know that. How are the laws going to change? And how, most importantly, are people going to change? And children who are seeing their parents go through this and they're staying at home and school is no longer what it was before, suddenly yanked out of their worlds to stay at home. How is that going to affect them long term? And I think that's something I want to discuss tonight. And if you have any comments about how you think the world is going to change, I would love to hear from you, to say hello and reintroduce myself. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. But here to talk about the issue, probably from a much more educated standpoint, I have Dr. Richard Carpiano. He's a professor of public policy and sociology at the University of California. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carpiano. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
I'm so glad that you're going to be talking about this because it's a fascinating topic. Now, you know, it's hard to imagine that this pandemic will not leave a mark. And as I remember, you know, historic things like the advent of birth control, the Vietnam War, 9/11, and some of the big things that kind of changed the way society was and is. Do you agree with me that this pandemic is such a historic event that will change things?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and if you think about, as you said, I mean, in the past one, even just the past 100 years, when you think about all the, you know, all the tremendous historical changes and events that have occurred to our country, to us globally, you know, absolutely no doubt about that. And then, of course, within the past week as well, you know, with the protests and the movements afoot. I mean, they say the old statement, may you live in interesting times, is a curse. You know, in some respects, with the terrible things we faced, one could look at it that way. But another way to think about this, too, is what tremendous, you know, opportunities these crises have put in front of us in terms of actually changing things for the better.
Now,
not just about the protests, but even just thinking about how even something tragic like a pandemic even can present particular types of opportunities, which is kind of the way I've been trying to think about this in a lot of ways. I mean, it's very easy for us to always be kind of thinking down about the horrible things and the challenges that we've all faced in our country and globally. But I think going forward and thinking about the significance of this event and how events really are unfolding in front of us, you know, and it's very hard to predict. I think the opportunities that they present in front of us, I think, are very important for us to be considering.
Yeah, and you're right. Some people are optimists, and I'm one of those, Dr. Carpiano. I'm thinking about all the good new laws there are going to be and how the workplace is going to be different and maybe fairer to employees, you know, and all those things. But then there are people who just think life is never going to be the same because we're never going to be able to hug again. But let's talk about some bullet points of some areas that you predict and you see that you think will change because of the pandemic.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Let's go. Give me number one.
Well, I mean, the first one is, so I'm a public health scientist, sort of first and foremost by training, and so that's always the topics that are near and dear to my heart. You know, and we're faced now with two challenges to public health, and we often don't think about the George Floyd protests as being an issue around public health, but we certainly know that systemic racism and and the policy impacts of that have tremendous impact on the African American community as well as other communities of color. So there's the chance for reform here can be something that can be very important for public health going forward. More broadly, what I want to get at too is I think this whole time period has really gotten the public, or at least I hope that it has, to be more aware of what public health does. But so often we think about healthcare, we think about healthcare debates, healthcare law, what we see our politicians or political debates talking about really is heavily around insurance and about coverage and around hospital systems and what you do when you get sick and where you go. And I think right now we're in a period where it's very important for the public to be made aware about the importance of what our public health system does in terms of responses to pandemics, in terms of providing other sorts of very critical sorts of services, outreach for vulnerable groups and populations, testing, even basic things like restaurant inspection and all those things that that's not part of our health insurance. Those are things that are part of our tax dollars. It provides, it tends to be a very underfunded sort of sector. And so this is highlighting the importance of us investing in this. Particularly going forward when we think about, this is not going to be the last pandemic that we're going to face, sadly. I'd love for it to be, but this is, we have to be thinking about for the future about around planning and around other sorts of emergency planning that public health is involved in.
And,
very important in that regard as well.
Yeah, and I hope that people do look at that because I feel like in some ways the politics of this have sort of overtaken our ability to really look at what you're talking about, which is if this happens again, what are we going to do? Not whose fault it was, not looking back, not saying we should have done this. And, maybe there should be some of that criticism, and I'm not saying there shouldn't be, but what are we going to do in the future? And I just I'm not sure that I'm hearing that from the average person. And so I suppose that could be because we're all in the midst of this ourselves. And so we're not really looking toward the future. We're looking at how to get out of this hole that we're in. But I certainly hope that that's the case. And you know what? I'm going to have to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Richard Carpiano some more about how the world is different after the pandemic. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN. We're here with Dr. Carpiano, and he's a sociologist at University of California at Riverside. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about how the world is going to change after this pandemic and after this crisis, civil rights crisis that we're having as well. Let's bullet point, Dr. Carpiano, a couple of other areas where we are sure to see some changes.
Sure. Do you want me to start?
Go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, as you left off with about the idea of figuring out what went wrong and how to do it better, I think that's very much something that the United States, we've tended to be historically kind of reactionary to a lot of crises that have faced us. So I do agree with you where we left off about the idea that having a sort of 9/11 type commission related to the COVID response, I think would be very important for us thinking for the future, because we do need to be thinking about how to strengthen our public health system in the United States. But also related to that, sort of extending beyond public health, we can think about sort of this has certainly put more discussion and more focus in the past few weeks on healthcare coverage, even on private healthcare, and particularly and as how that ties in with everyone's with so many people's jobs. And so the ability to be able to leave work, when sick, to be able to stay home, the risks that can actually pose to a workplace and affecting other people, but at the same time, the precarity of of people's economic situations, that people have to show up to work to pay the bills, and that's completely understandable as well. So there's the worker side of that, and there's also the employer side of that too. And thinking about from a risk management standpoint, I don't mean that from like a legal standpoint. I just even mean that from just from care and concern of your work staff, in the sense of making sure that your business and workplace can be safe, and how exactly to make adaptations to that. I think we're going to see some again, everything's still unfolding, so it's so hard to predict here, but I think we are going to be seeing lots of changes around workplace issues and about how workplaces, really fundamentally operate in a sense.
Well, and I just, I'm not a sociologist, but I like to guess, and I have a microphone in front of me, so I get to guess on the air. But I just think that younger people these days are going to be looking at jobs totally differently. I just have a feeling like for us, like when I grew up, it was like, who could pay us the most? I don't care if I work, 12 hours a day. I think that young people are going to look at, can I work remotely? Do I get time off to be sick? Do I, do they take precautions at the workplace? Are they sympathetic to my needs if I have medical issues? I think there's going to be that focus that, we just didn't have entering the workplace, 30 years ago.
Absolutely. And the other thing we shouldn't overlook is, when we think about just the economic impact that that this has had, and so what that will mean for, I'm a university professor, one of the foremost things in my mind is thinking about graduating students and how even what that will mean for their career trajectories and thinking about what sorts of opportunities might immediately be available, how long until the economy, for the economy to really kind of correct itself after this. So there's a lot of that on my mind as well, too. And in the long term that people have to think about when related to your this concern about benefits and it are things like, saving for retirement and what this will mean for inequalities and people being able to sort of save and accumulate wealth over time, even in that kind of basic security on a home.
Do you think that people are going to be more careful with money now? I mean, the idea that all of a sudden there's certain jobs like cab drivers, restaurant workers, retail people who can't work remotely and may not have saved a whole lot of money. And again, that's not to fault anybody, but do you think that's going to cause people to be more conservative with their money?
It's definitely going to be, people are going to be tightening the belt, or I think people are going to be seeking out opportunities where they might not have necessarily considered them, but because of what their options might be in front of them. I mean, I think, the current situation is definitely going to shape what their choices really are going to be, in addition to just what their options are. And so, there's going to be, to sound more like an economist, there's definitely going to be some interesting sort of supply and demand issues that are going on here. And just because businesses are opening up, like restaurants and stores in certain states to different degrees, just because, to borrow the old movie cliche, just because you build it doesn't mean that people are going to come necessarily, too. And looking at poll numbers right now, and the public's still very reticent to get out there. I mean, we see people getting out, of course, and starting to head to certain places. But still, for the most part, there still is a significant sort of reluctance to engage in that, too. So there is going to be, this is going to take time. It's going to take a certain degree, I think, even of sort of trust building on the, from thinking about like the restaurant industry, which is such a big employer. When you think about other sorts of service industries, too, and sort of gaining back sort of customer trust for space safety. And again, the importance of looking to public health and officials, too, for, sort of what is the, what really is the best thing to do here? How do I make sense of all this sort of competing information that's sort of out there and the risks that this might have for me as well as, my family if I go back, if one goes back home after being out and what exactly that might mean as well. So there's all these different variables that are really tough for the average person to be sort of, doing this kind of risk calculation in their head.
Well, and this is just a general, basic comment, but, we change our habits so easily. We don't think we can. And, there's like some rule of thumb, like if you change your habits for 21 days, you change your behavior for 21 days and you do it for another 90 days, now you've gotten a habit and you've changed your lifestyle. But that being aside, healthy eating or exercise or whatever those things are related to, we change our habits. I mean, I'm a big one for going out every night, going out to dinner every night, just because I work very hard and I've got wonderful restaurants in my neighborhood. But now I kind of like eating at home. Now I like my routine. It's a whole different routine. Shopping, I used to like to just go out and shop. Now I can do it online. I now know how to do Zoom and Skype. And, it's not that hard and it's not that bad to sit and look at somebody in their home. In fact, it's kind of interesting to see what they have on their walls and what their pets look like. So we have these changes of little habits, in my view, little habits, but that could maybe change from a sociological standpoint into a whole different way of life. I mean, does that happen? Is that part of what you study?
Absolutely. I mean, we can most certainly see that. I mean, we were already starting to see a very heavy movement towards online shopping, which stores have been facing, and certainly this profound behavior change that got put upon us, has certainly ramped that up much more so. I'm speaking personally. I never would have thought to I actually like grocery shopping, and just to kind of get out and kind of do stuff. And I tend to be kind of one of these slow adopters of tech in some ways. I never would have imagined me doing online food shopping, but it works and it seems to be kind of effective and efficient. And so the question is, once this stuff over, will I stick to still doing that? I think this is shopping is one thing. The other thing related to this is other sorts of purchasing, like that entail even like traveling. And to what degree? Obviously, there's international travel is going to be limited for a while, but even to that degree, how long that might take to really even be opening up again?
Well, for instance, when I came out of law school, the first thing that I wanted to do most was to travel around the world and see everything. And there's some people mm-hmm. like to travel, some people don't, but that was definitely one of my goals. I just wonder if people are going to, have that same kind of feeling, like I want to go and I want to see Rome. I think people are afraid. I think they're afraid to fly. They're afraid of different countries. They're afraid of getting there and not getting the health care they need. And it may impact them and generationally impact the desire to travel. Could that be?
Well, I think of it on two levels. Well, I mean, the first thing related most directly to your point is I've been following some of the survey numbers quite closely over the past few weeks, and it does seem certainly travel is one of those behaviors that has stayed pretty consistent. Now part of that is also because of policies and what's been sort of locked down. But even when you think about sort of domestic air travel and other things, people have been generally avoiding that. But the other thing is spare money. Even as right. In terms of travel and vacation, in terms of when we think about sort of unemployment numbers, when we think about how and maybe this might business owners, other people who might have guaranteed sort of source of income kind of coming in, or that might be impacted in some sort of way. Travel is a luxury in a lot of cases, and so and some of the non-essential stuff. And so, that's going to certainly hurt things as well. And again, the standpoint of, it's not just the demand, but also sort of the supply, and thinking about how that impacts, people working in the travel industry, too. I mean, this is all sort of symbiotic and works as a system.
Right. A couple other quickly, we only have a couple minutes left, but education, brick and mortar, is that going to be a sort of a thing of the past? I mean, with the huge cost of education, I mean, it's just gone up and up and up. And now we saw, the kids go back home and they're doing it remotely and they're learning, their professors are giving their lectures online. Is this going to be something where people say, why should I invest $250,000 in a private school where my kid goes there and learns in the dorm and everything? And is it so valuable, or should I just do it online? Do you think there's a possibility we're going to do much more online training and education?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had, we've already been sort of really starting to see that push. And so, an event like this certainly ramped that up. Lots of universities have, certainly been developing online and distance learning type programs. I have to admit, though, this is my sort of my personal opinion, I guess, in many respects. But also some of what my students tell me too is there is something that does get lost though in without that in person type of contact. Now, obviously, that's not to say all risk be damned and let's all show up and let's have in classroom types experiences. But I do think that there is something to be said about sort of the quality of an education that comes from that sort of in person versus distant learning. Obviously, not everybody can do it, and even absent of the pandemic. But to the idea of that kind of traditional sort of way could be best in terms of professional socialization interactions. But the other thing this has highlighted, we see this, I see this with my students too, is the digital divide. Even not everyone's got great access from home in terms of being able to have the space and the internet access even to be taking good, taking the best advantage of what might be available online too.
Yeah, that makes
the digital divide definitely plays in.
That's right. You know what? We're going to have to take a break. And I thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Richard Carpiano, professor of public policy and sociology at University of California, Riverside. Thank you for weighing in, and have a good rest of your weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN.